Welcome to the gym class for Friday here at KGYM as we close in on the weekend. The last one in the month of February. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash from our studios. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side here in just a couple of moments. Great show coming up for you. Scott Docterman from The Athletic will join us. We will recap Iowa and Michigan from last night. We'll talk a lot of Hawkeyes Wolverines with you coming up. Things did not go well. They started off poor. Well, okay. Got bad and got worse for Iowa last night. The Iowa women did get a big victory over Michigan to help out their NCAA resume. Finally got that game in last night, 5 hours after it was supposed to get tipped off. We'll kick that around with you a little bit as well. And Jeff Linder of the Gazette joins us, and we will preview the girls' state basketball tournament, which commences bright and early with 5A quarterfinals on Monday morning. A lot to get to on the show. Interaction welcome at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is a text line if you want to get some in early about last night's ball game. That's also our phone line, 319-366-1600. And thanks for listening. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the KGYM radio stream, the KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker. High school 4A Substate Boys semifinal basketball tonight on two fronts here on KGYM. Myself and Phil Dunn will be at Kennedy on the northeast side tonight. It'll be the Kennedy Cougars taking on number 9 rated Ottumwa tonight in a boys substate semifinal. 6:45 is the pregame for that one, 7 o'clock with the tip. And then Miles and Eric will be down in North Liberty. It'll be Liberty hosting Davenport North, the state tournament participant a year ago. And that will be at 6:45 as well on 106.3 FM. Tomorrow night, we've got two more games for you to punch tickets to the boys' state basketball tournament in 1A and 2A. Phil and I will be in Jessup. It'll be North Lynn. The Lynx looking to get back to yet another state tournament as North Lynn will take on Meskwaki Settlement tomorrow night in Jessup at 6:45. That'll also be on 107.5 FM, 106.3 FM coming up tomorrow evening at 7:15, a little bit later start. They're having a doubleheader with clearing the gym between games up at Maquoketa. But we will have for you West Branch and Dyersville Beckman tomorrow night for a 2A substate final at from Maquoketa at 7:15. Love this time of year, Mark. Lots of hoops, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hope you guys are well. Hope everyone's well out there and anxious to dive into today's program.
Indeed, yeah. 319-366-1600. That is the text line out there, and I would imagine it's probably going to be humming here today, talking about Iowa basketball as the Hawkeyes and Michigan. Good first half, not a high-scoring first half. Both teams were into it as far as the defense was concerned. And Jordan Bohannon, I think, said it absolutely best last night, talking about Jack Nungy, that this guy has just been through hell. And we hope for the best. I don't believe we have heard anything definitively as of yet, Mark. Is that correct?
Not to my knowledge.
No. Buttons, is that correct? Okay, Buttons also saying that as well. Going to have an MRI today. Jack Nungy going down with a leg injury, came out on crutches after going into the locker room. You just hope that it is not another knee situation. Because that would be the third in his Hawkeye career. And to be honest with you, I don't know what the future would hold, not only for this year, for Jack Nungy, but in future years. Still has 2 more years of eligibility remaining. And, yeah, that was the worst thing that happened last night. We'll get to the text coming up in a moment, Mark, but then the second half started, and it was all Michigan, maize, and blue last night.
Oh, it really was, and it was reminiscent of the Iowa-Indiana game in Iowa City when Iowa couldn't do anything in the second half. The difference in those two games is that, can we just admit that Michigan is really good?
Yes.
And You know, I don't know how many times Iowa would beat Michigan. Well, they would play 10 times. Clearly, the Hawkeyes would have to play a whole lot better. I mean, I was very impressed with the depth of talent that Michigan has. How could you not? They guarded the three-point line very well, made it very difficult for Wieskamp and Frederick and Bohannon to get off threes. And then you couple that with Hunter Dickinson and the backup center's play on Luka Garza. Garza was clearly off. I mean, to pile on Luka Garza may or may not be fair, but he did not look like the player of the year by any stretch last night. And not that he won't be. By the way, he's named a finalist for the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Center of the Year Award. He's among the top five. But it got away from Iowa. Fran McCaffrey substituted late, and the margin of victory got a little lopsided. But clearly you tip your hat to Michigan, I think. And, you know, there's all kinds of reasons out there, people floating theories about what's wrong with this Iowa team. They're just coming off a four-game winning streak, and they played the number three team in the country, maybe the number two team. I don't know.
I think they are.
I think you put them past Baylor, but I don't think there's much shame in that. I guess it's the way in which Iowa lost the game. You know, some folks wanted Fran McCaffrey to call timeouts sooner. You know, I've never been a – timeouts can – are they really the remedy for fixing a problem? You call them to stop momentum. I understand that, but that's not the reason Iowa lost the game, nor was it the officials, although – they weren't very good. The four stoppages of play in the first half got really
ridiculous,
really annoying. Got really annoying.
Yeah, it was. It was ridiculous at times. Taking a look at all the nitpicky stuff last night, and I agree with you. The officials had nothing to do with it. Michigan was going to blow out Iowa, no matter if Iowa got every call in that basketball game. A couple things stand out to me: the athleticism of Michigan and the veteranism, if you will, of Michigan. I said there. I think this team moved up over Baylor, in my opinion, last night, and they're gaining on Gonzaga right now. By the way, the Zags had a whole bunch of trouble with Santa Clara at home last night. That may have been just an aberration, but this Michigan team, if they continue to play at the level they are playing right now, can win a national championship. Don't overreact. That is my unprofessional opinion to last night's game. Garza didn't play well. Hunter Dickinson had a lot to do with that. Franz Wagner was terrific last night going around Iowa Hawkeyes. Isaiah Livers, same thing, going through around whatnot as far as the Iowa defense is concerned. And then you bring a couple guys off the bench that are seniors that have a whole bunch of experience. It's a really, really good Michigan team that's going to win the Big Ten regular season. And you had to go face them on the road. You're going to get them at home. Maybe you can play better. Maybe Michigan is just better than Iowa. Who knows? But I don't think it was a lot of. I think the bigger factor is Jack Nungy now. If Jack Nungy has a serious injury, that was one spot that Iowa could not afford to have a person go down. Because you saw what happened with Iowa last night. Keegan Murray had to play basically the five. He was guarding Hunter Dickinson at times and did a pretty good job last night, to Keegan's credit. And Keegan played a terrific game last night, once again, off the bench for the Hawkeyes. But he's undersized in there, and he'd be the first to tell you he's undersized. Fran McCaffrey would be the second one to tell you he's undersized in there. You got to move puzzle pieces around, and there's basically no big man backup for Luka Garza. You can do some things, try to get up and down. Maybe I was forced to play a little bit more zone now out of necessity. We're going to have to wait and see the results as far as Jack Nungy's injury is concerned. 319-366-1600, 1156 on the text line. Was it a bad night or a dose of reality that they cannot compete with the elite. They will always struggle against teams with quick athletic guards. I would say quick athletic guards and quick athletic wings with length. And that happened last night.
Yeah, that's true to a certain extent. But to say Iowa can't compete with those teams, just go down the schedule. I mean, if competing means winning, then I agree. But losing by four to Illinois, five to Illinois, four to Ohio State, so on and so forth, that Gonzaga game earlier in the year, if compete means beating these teams, I would agree with that. But to your point, let's see what happens with Jack Nungy. Probably going to miss some time regardless of the results of the MRI. I don't know. But it will be a blow. Keegan Murray can play a lot of positions, but it would be difficult to ask him to play the five. And finally, like I said yesterday, I recommended, and you don't have to take my recommendation, but it's a recommendation that I really endorse, is no matter what happened last night or what happens this Sunday against Ohio State, don't get too high, don't get too low. Because the bigger prizes are next month. And you don't want to see Iowa get beat by 22 anywhere, whether it's at Michigan or at home, what have you. But there's still a lot to play for this Iowa basketball team, and I would expect it to bounce back. And it's just so easy on one night to see what happened to Iowa against Michigan and get down on Fran McCaffrey, get down on Luka Garza, get down on the entire team. It's so simple to do that.
It is. This from 64-29, Michigan can defend and no answer for their slashers. Iowa beats them two or three times out of 10. Iowa's a top 10 team. RELAX per Aaron Rodgers. and then 64-29, no shame in losing to a team like Michigan. However, if Nungy is out for an extended period, this could severely damage the Hawks' chances now and also next year, as he's supposed to be Luka's replacement. Yeah, this year, yes, but I think even more, I agree with that texter as far as the future is concerned. If it is the worst, you know, you hope for the best. Let's just hope for the best, and when we find out, we'll just kind of go from there. 81-86, Iowa Hawks could not create shots either. Very, very true. And Jeff lets us know Iowa missed a lot of easy buckets. They did. Iowa just didn't play a very good second half last night. First half was okay, I think, basically because the Hawkeye defense was pretty good. I guess positives out of that game last night: C.J. Frederick, 4 out of 5 from the field and 9. Jordan Bohannon hit a couple of threes, and Keegan Murray played very, very well, I thought, as far as the game. Luka Garza went up against Hunter Dickinson. Give Hunter Dickinson all kinds of credit. You and I were talking earlier today, Mark, and I remarked to you that Dickinson right now in his freshman campaign, and it's nothing against Luka Garza or anything like that, but Dickinson right now is light years ahead as a freshman of where Luka was. Now, is he going to put in the work that Luka has done? They are workout partners in the offseason. They did that over the summer. They know one another's game. That probably played a bit of a big part in that game last night. I also thought Luka was kind of pressing a little bit, maybe to show Hunter Dickinson, hey, I'm still the senior around here and you're the newcomer. We'll see what happens the second time around.
Dickinson is excellent. There's no doubt about it. Whether he's a freshman or senior, what have you, he's excellent. And I do agree with you, Garza. I mean, to the texter's point, Iowa missed a lot of very close-in shots. Garza missing some that he might not have missed otherwise. 6 out of 19 from the field. Very unlike him. But I don't know. As discouraging as it was last night, the Iowa fan base, I don't think should be, totally up in arms about this.
No.
One way or another. Iowa fans, I tweeted last night, Scott, that, Iowa fans are passionate about their team, and that's why they react the way they do. I know this because I've lived here my whole life, now 64 years. I've seen it year after year. It's nothing new. I think it has very much a lot to do with there's no professional team here. I think Iowa and Nebraska are the only teams in the Big Ten that don't have a professional team in the respective states. I could be wrong about that, but I think Iowa State fans feel the same way. This is their team. This is a teams that get on in a national spotlight, and the losses come harder. And I understand that. And then I think, you know, is this team, was it overrated in the beginning or is it underachieving? I don't know. You know, Iowa's only one step behind Ohio State, and Ohio State's the number four team in the country. We're going to find out Sunday if Iowa can pass Ohio State. But I don't know that you hear Ohio State fans, you know, screaming about one loss.
And Kyle Young being out as well. Iowa matches up much better against Ohio State, but we'll see. We'll see. 3:21, we need to take a break. Come back. Scott Dochterman from The Athletic will join us. We'll talk more Iowa-Michigan when we come back. You're listening to The Gym Class right here for a Friday on KGYM. Thanks for joining us. Back with more after this.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Savings are a mail-in rebate. See store for details.
One of the things that's great about betting on basketball is always finding new player props or game props that you like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay bet, and you can find them only on FanDuel. The same game parlay bet allows you to combine player point totals, rebounds, assists, the money line, the over-under, the point spreads, and more, and put them into one parlay within the same game. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. You heard that right, every day. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a same game parlay and use promo code KUHN at signup. That is promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
The COVID-19 pandemic is the worst healthcare crisis of our lifetime. Hospitals, care centers, and their staff are overwhelmed, and it's getting worse. By now, we all know someone who's been affected by the virus. But there is hope. Vaccines are coming and getting closer every day. But while we wait for relief, you need to do your part. Wear a mask, wash your hands, and maintain your distance. It's for now, not forever. This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into The Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
And we welcome you back to The Gym Class here on KGYM. Thanks a whole bunch for joining us here today. A reminder, the Bergen KDV knows the power of community, and that's why we are proud to partner with them to bring you ICR Strength. As part of ICR Strength, we're working together to recognize some of the outstanding businesses here in the corridor. Find out more by going to the website, our website, at kgymradio.com. More Iowa-Michigan talk coming up as we bring in Scott Dochterman, who covers the Hawkeyes for The Athletic, as he joins us on a Friday edition of the program here on KGYM. Scott, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day here in eastern Iowa, and the snow is melting. I can't complain. How about you guys?
Well, no, but there are a lot of folks have found reason to complain. After last night's ball game. So let's get right into it. One of those nights, or was it just a situation where Michigan is that much better than Iowa? What say you?
I think Michigan's better than Iowa. 22 points better? No. I think if they played 10 times, I think Michigan would win 7. I think there might have been one or two out of those 10 times that would be a blowout, and this happened to be the case. I mean, you know, you can't underestimate the loss of Jack Nungy, of Connor McCaffrey. They are very important pieces to this team. But, you know, I think you also look at Michigan as, you know, one of the top defensive teams in the Big Ten. Certainly it is in field goal percentage, and it is in, you know, the top scoring team when it comes to field goal percentage in the Big Ten. So it's a complete team, top to bottom, every single position, the bench, tough, tenacious. It's a better team than Iowa. And I've seen enough of these games over the years to where you know that sometimes it's just really difficult to win on the road, and to top it off, that there are a lot of bad games on the road. So you just kind of chalk it up in that case. The question is, going forward, can Iowa rebound? Can Iowa go to Ohio State and win? Can Iowa not only do that, but maybe win their last two at home and feel like, okay, well, you got past this bad loss, this stinker that people get once in a while, and you can move forward? Or will this linger? Or will this become a lose three out of your final four, which we've seen, you know, at times in this program? So I think the next week will tell us a lot, and it really will indicate kind of the direction of what the fan base takes, not only into the postseason, but probably into the offseason.
Scott, what'd you make of Luka Garza's play last night?
Not very good. It was probably the worst game I've seen him play, and that includes the 8-point effort against Michigan State. I mean, 6 of 19 from the floor. He was kind of swallowed up by Hunter Dickinson. And when people have said, you know, analysts, whatever you want to say it at a national level, that have questioned whether or not he could play it in the NBA, when you see that type of game and where Hunter Dickinson just, you know, really caused him a lot of problems, you kind of wonder, okay, is this what they mean when they say that that Luka will struggle at the national level, so, or at the NBA? So, you know, Luka, I do not have any questions, will bounce back. He will bounce back. He will have a tremendous game, I'd imagine, on Sunday and probably throughout next week. But that was a game afterwards, and listening to him, he was very disappointed in himself, and I think rightly so. And because if he hits some of the shots that he normally makes or has a greater impact offensively, it probably changes a little bit of the dynamic of the game. But that said, the offense didn't help him either. I mean, only 4 assists for this team. A team that is as efficient as any team in college basketball. That was really poor effort that way as well. So I think Luka has a lot to work on. He will. He'll get better. He'll play better in the rest of the season. But I think the team around him needs to improve as well.
Well, and they may have to do that shorthanded. Injuries last night, I think Connor will be okay. It's just going to be a battle against that ankle, especially with a game coming up on Sunday. And I just have a feeling Connor could have gone in at the end, but I think Fran said, you know, the hay's in the barn as far as this one is concerned. But the bigger question, of course, is Jack Nungy, and that unfortunately look eerily similar to what happened at the beginning of the season last year. I hope I'm wrong. That kid just does not deserve something like this to happen to him again.
Yeah, it's really a shame, because he is, as you said, you know, he's a quality player in person. He's had a lot of tough things go on with his father passing away at the beginning of the year, to fight back from an ACL, and then the potential to have it happen again. He's having an MRI done today, so we'll know more about the extent of it probably later today, if not tomorrow, and certainly by Sunday. It's really a shame. And anytime there's that ACL, it just kind of stops and hits you, because you know it's not a, hey, you'll be ready in a couple of months. No, this is a significantly long injury to recover from, and to have it happen twice, and you know, and it may not be. It may be just a sprain. We'll know more today, but it just did not look good, and you just feel for him. I mean, you hurt for the team, but you really hurt for the person, because this is just, that's a tough blow for him, and, you know, because you just wonder how much can somebody take before they you know, hang it up. But, you know, hopefully it's just a sprain or something and he can come back and, you know, if not contribute the rest of this year, but, you know, certainly in the future.
Well, and it messes up the rotation too, because Keegan Murray had to go in and guard Hunter Dickinson a lot last night after the injury in the second half. And, you know, and Keegan did a good job against him. But, you know, Keegan's given up a lot of weight and a lot of inches height-wise against somebody. Not everyone's got a player like Dickinson, but it messes up the Iowa rotation.
Yeah, as you know, you're right. And it's that's the big problem for Iowa is they don't necessarily have another center type that could go in and defend a 7-1 guy. And, you know, that just could do it and do it possession by possession. I mean, Keegan Murray's been a godsend for this team. He's been tremendous in every way possible, but he's playing out of position when he does that. And if you do that over an extended period of time, I mean, it really does show the disadvantage that Iowa has. So you want to make sure Keegan Murray can play to his strengths. He's still a young player. I mean, he's still growing, and you know, maybe in a couple of years he can figure out enough of the nuance on the floor to defend that position a little bit better. But you know, that's a lot to ask of him. So I think right now that with Jack Dungy out, it really puts a lot of strain on Luka Garza, on Keegan Murray. Whether, you know, anybody else comes in, maybe Chris Murray comes in and has more minutes, I don't know. But it's going to be a challenge for them as they go forward, you know, especially in Big Ten play. Once they get to the NCAA tournament, they'll be a little bit looser. You wouldn't expect to have the post presence that we do in the Big Ten. It's just like an incredible league for that. So I think this is an injury they're going to have to figure out how to play with, and it's going to be tough.
Scott, maybe too early to ask this, but Iowa to this point, 11-6 in the league, 17-7 overall. Obviously, the ceiling for the regular season is 14-6 and 20-7. Given the expectations with this team going in, how would you evaluate it, the season to this point?
I would say that it's been a good season, not a great season. And, you know, depending on how they finish, we can, you know, nudge that one way or the other. I mean, you know, that's a pretty good record, and it's a tough league. And I think there's a couple of losses in there that Iowa shouldn't have had. That's for sure. I think both Indiana losses and probably the Minnesota loss, you could really look at those as saying, you know, okay, you lose one out of those, but not all three. That really does not look good. But for me in this program, the next week is really going to indicate a lot about the future. And the reason why I say that is, do people have a lot of faith that this team can regroup, put together some good efforts, win some games the rest of the way, and feel like, all right, if they get a favorable matchup in the NCAA tournament, can they win? And I think people are hedging on that. And if this was football, we've seen Iowa come out and fire a fastball after a bad loss. See it time after time after time, and probably the greatest example was 5 years ago when they got blown out of Penn State and they come back and beat Michigan. But you know, with Iowa's basketball team, I do think they're capable, and I think they're a very good team. They're capable of going to Ohio State and winning, and certainly beating Nebraska decisively, and then beating Wisconsin. But to ask the average fan, do you think that's going to happen? I don't know if people believe that yet, because they really haven't shown that in the past that they're able to do it. So if they can do it, hey, you know, they're capable of it. But if not, if they say lose Sunday and then lose to Wisconsin, go to the Big Ten tournament, kind of flame out there, people are really going to struggle to get up for this program again, because this year there was more hype than what, any time since maybe Steve Alford's first year, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Or going back even prior to that a little bit. Scott Dochterman from The Athletic joining us at 3:34 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. The plum left out there, the carrot at the end of the stick for this team, is now trying to get in that top four and get a double bye for the Big Ten tournament. It is still possible. Certainly a win in Columbus on Sunday would go a long, long way, but it's going to be a dogfight, and with a lot of games, hopefully in March, clumped together. Just to get another day off is going to be huge for anybody.
Sure it is. And, you know, there hasn't been a lot of success for those teams that play on Thursday. To go and play four straight days in Indianapolis is not a recipe for victory in the Big Ten tournament. So that's a challenge, an extra game. It's a deep league. So if Iowa's, say, the 5 seed, or, you know, even play the 12, well, we've seen them lose a lot of those games, not just a couple, but a lot over the years. And so that's a tough situation to put yourself in. I mean, Iowa hasn't had a Friday, a double bye under Fran McCaffrey. Iowa has never reached Saturday under Fran McCaffrey at the Big Ten tournament. So getting that double bye would be something different, and it's got the potential to get them to a different situation. They need that. But when you look at what Purdue's facing, and, it's going to be difficult because, again, Iowa has to play, you know, a team that's already still in the top five and one that's in Wisconsin. Yeah, I know Iowa blew them out last week, but that's not going to be an easy out at home. So, you know, you could slip down to a 6. And if you're playing a 6-11 game and then a 3, and, you know, just it's going to be a tough climb. And yes, when you've got a team that's already depleted now with injuries, you don't want to have that extra game. And you certainly don't want to just bow out either.
Yeah, more than a few eyes tonight, Iowa eyes anyway, on Purdue at Penn State.
Right. I mean, you know, they play, they've had the easiest schedule in the Big Ten. You know, they play Penn State, they finish up with Indiana. I think over the last 7 or 8 games, the only team with a winning record in the Big Ten is Wisconsin, and they're playing them, I think, after Penn State. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of eyes there. You know, if you tie, at least you win that tiebreaker because you beat them once. But still, you know, if they get one past you, and you know, then they're playing one less game, and that's going to be that's what the tough part of this season is for Iowa. And then if they are like say a 6 in the tournament, then you have to look at this season as pretty disappointing, all things considered, because top 5 talent, they embrace the expectations, and here they are, kind of where they've been throughout the last 10 years.
Just to throw it in there, not that it means a whole lot, that and a cup of coffee, or a quarter will buy an old-time cup of coffee, but Iowa dropped one line in Joe Lenardi's bracketology after the loss last night from a 2 to a 3. So it is what it is, right?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, that's one thing that does irritate me a lot about college basketball is it's all about March. And March Madness is fantastic. The whole tournament's great. It's one of the most entertaining sports ventures out there. But there's 4 to 5 months of other basketball games before you get to that point. And we seem to just want to just blink and get all the way to March. And last night, having Dick Vitale talk about that and the whole time just – you know, I get a little sour on it. And, you know, 2 or 3 in the NCAA tournament, that's great. But, you know, I think these games matter coming up. And let's see what, even though there's no championship at stake, Big Ten championship at stake, I think they matter in the grand scheme of things and how you perform against Ohio State, Nebraska, and Wisconsin.
True. Scott, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you a non-basketball question. And it has to do with the lawsuit brought by former Iowa football players against the university for racial and discrimination and charges and whatnot. And I understand the university is seeking to have that lawsuit drop. Where does that stand?
Right now, as far as I know, and I haven't given I haven't delved into it too closely in the last couple of weeks, but that's kind of where it is trying to get the lawsuit dismissed. And as far as beyond that, I'm not really sure. So I would anticipate there would be more court hearings, and we'll probably get more information in the coming days.
Okay.
We're not far from spring football. We hope, fingers crossed, some semblance of spring football.
Oh, that's all. I just want a normal 2021. I mean, we get a normal football season in the fall, or heck, most of a normal summer. I think we'll enjoy it and embrace it. We should anyway, more than we've ever had before, because that the last year has taught us anything, it's to, you know, normalcy isn't that bad. Let's have some fun with it.
Indeed. Indeed. And, well, we'll see what happens on Sunday in Columbus with the back-to-back, the big road trip for the Hawkeyes. Keep up the great work at the Athletics, Scott. Thanks, as always. Appreciate it, and take care.
All right. Have a good one, guys. Thanks so much.
Scott Docterman of The Athletic covers the Iowa Hawkeyes, joining us here in the gym class on a Friday on KGYM. Take a break. Come back. We will talk about the girls' state basketball tournament with Jeff Linder of the Gazette next week. And, well, it comes up next week. We'll talk with Jeff next here in the gym class on KGYM.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Experience the benefit of Blue with a Medicare supplement plan from Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. With our plans, you'll enjoy nationwide access to care, optional dental, vision, and hearing coverage, and more. Call 1-888-616-8927 or go online to wellmark.com/Medicare plans. You may even qualify for a special household discount. This is the benefit of Blue. Wellmark Blue Dental Product available to Iowa residents only. Must reside in the service area of the plan. Wellmark Medicare supplement insurance plans are not connected with or endorsed by any government agency.
Okay, set it down over there and then go to bay 5.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
We need to keep going to finish.
Like Amir's warehouse. To expand capacity, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Count on the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your car. Get maximum cooling system performance for 10 years or 300,000 miles with Peak Long Life Universal Pre-Mixed Antifreeze and Coolant. On sale now for just $5.99 after mail-in rebate. Plus, earn double O rewards points. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back with you on the gym class here on KGYM, 342, just coming out from the University of Iowa, Mark. And the news, unfortunately, is kind of what we thought it would be, and it is not good. Iowa redshirt sophomore Jack Nungy suffered a season-ending torn meniscus of his right knee yesterday in the game against Michigan. He will have surgery coming up. Next week to repair the meniscus is expected to be sidelined 4 to 6 months. So, unfortunately, not an ACL, but obviously torn meniscus and same knee as well as he injured last year.
It's not the news that Nungy wanted to hear, nor the Iowa basketball team, nor Iowa fans. But when he went down last night after only playing about a minute, you could kind of tell it was a non-contact injury, just kind of stepped wrong on his leg. And, yeah, I'm sure all Iowa fans join me in really hoping Jack Nungy can recover from this and still have a good career.
Yeah. We'll see what the next step is, but Jack is out for the rest of the year. Speaking of basketball, we're going to talk some basketball, high school, and we'll talk a little bit of college women's hoops as well. Jeff Linder of the Gazette, kind enough to join us here on a Friday edition of the show at 3:44. And Jeff had a very strange and round, I don't even know how to describe it. You were there, Jeff, yesterday in Iowa City. I guess if the men's game was as bad as it could be, the women's game, though, when they finally played it, was about as good as it could be.
Yeah, they probably played their best game of the season yesterday, and probably not under the circumstances that you would think they would. 5-hour delay, and you know, just a game 2 days before, and they came out and played really well. But when you shoot the ball well, you generally look pretty good.
Do we know anything more about any of the specifics about the circumstances why it was pushed off yesterday?
Well, Logan Cook is, I suppose, quarantined is the best word. Bluder said that she tested positive on Wednesday. And Michigan basically requested slash demanded that Iowa, the rest of the Iowa players, get tested. So they did. And they went to the place on campus, and it was about a four-hour deal in between the time that they were tested and the test came back negative on the rest of them, and they played ball.
Man.
Apparently Lisa Bluder left the building. What did you do during the 5 hours?
I worked on my state tournament stuff.
There you
tournament,
go.
Preview, and kind of kept updates coming up on what was going on at Carver, and I didn't have any cards or a Scrabble game or anything like that, so I just worked.
You got a little bit of time in to do some stuff, so you weren't quite as busy today, perhaps, but still
right,
very busy.
Right, I was able to fit a nap in today because of working yesterday, so win-win.
No doubt.
This girls' state tournament schedule is a little bit different this year, as you know, Jeff. And it's elongated, 9 a.m. first game, 9 p.m. maybe last game. You've got two 9 p.m. games to cover.
Yeah, two nines
in
an eight.
Area. And
yeah.
Maybe that's a first for you. I don't know.
Well, yeah, absolutely it is. And but what do you do? You have to do this. And it's going to be fine, and it's going to work out. They're going to do that so that they can clean out the building between games, and I get it. It sure beats not playing.
Very true. Very, very true indeed. And well, let's start talking about it. Class 5A, I think you've got most of the folks that you always think are going to be there, especially this year. Unfortunately, that does not include the Washington Warriors. What a heartbreaker that they endured against Dowling the other night. But you got your five CIML, you got your three MVCs, and they're kind of separated, interestingly enough.
Yeah. Iowa City West and Waterloo West play each other. Cedar Falls is also in that bottom bracket, and the upper bracket's all CIML. So that's just kind of the way that the seedings worked out, and it's going to be a pretty good tournament, I think.
Waukee, number one, yet only 11 games under their belts, but they are very good.
They're very good, and they should be the number one team, and I would say that they're the favorite. Johnston figures to be in there, and you know, the winner of the West game, you know, has a pretty good shot at getting to the finals.
Yeah, and Iowa City West and Waterloo West had a chance to see Waterloo West earlier in the year. They got as much talent as anybody if they can get it together, and BJ's got Iowa City West playing really, really good the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, and what you said about Waterloo West, absolutely. They're certainly capable of making a long run. And if Iowa City West can win the first one against Waterloo West, they've got a good chance to be playing on, I guess it's Friday as well.
Class 3A, Jeff, tell us about this walk-on team that is the number 7 seed taking on Clear Lake.
It's a pretty darn good 7 seed. 3A is going to be a good deep tournament, I think. I think Waukon really proved that it's a really quality team by what it did to Osage in the regional final. You know, I think Waukon was probably a slight underdog and went out and won that game by 20-plus. And got a really good, kind of under-the-radar player, Annika Headington. She leads that team in just about every category. And I saw her 2 years ago when she was a sophomore and was really impressed with her then, and I'm sure she's better now.
And don't underestimate Davenport Assumption.
No. You know, they came into the tournament 5-11 and won their three tournament games, I would say, fairly convincingly. And I mean, they're going to have their hands full of Cherokee, but Cherokee's not going to throw anything at them that they haven't already seen in the MAC.
No, and you know, next year I think we all those WOMAC teams, most of them 3A, have a lot of their firepower back, and none of them made it this year. But I think that it just got them some experience for next year.
Yeah, and it was a really intriguing WOMAC race all year. There were, I would say, six good teams and three pretty good teams, and I'm not sure there was a great team, but all you know, it made up for a lot of good matchups, and I think just about all those teams have quite a bit of firepower coming back, and the league should be even better. And I think the lower teams, you know, certainly led by West Delaware, should be much better next year.
Jeff Lynn.
Coconut Valley, the number one seed in Class 2A, one of three undefeated teams in that bracket. What do you see there?
I see a strong, deep field there as well. You know, their first game against an unranked Rock Valley team, that's not a gimme. They come out of that really good pocket of Northwest Iowa there. And, you know, they're going to have to play well from the start or else it's going to be a short stay for them. North Lynn, you know, back in the field after winning it all last year. They've got a tough matchup against Nottoway Valley. Saw West Branch on Tuesday. Very, very much impressed with West Branch. They've got a really complete team. They've got a nice guard in Sasha Koenig. They've got good size. They've got good girls that can shoot. Definitely a team that could be playing on Saturday.
Yeah, and don't forget all the athletes Dyke New Hartford has.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I think Dyke New Hartford might be the team to beat in 2A.
Interesting, and great to see Scott Monk get there with Maquoketa Valley, and you know,
yeah,
what that class went through.
And we've chronicled what's, you know, kind of what's been going on with Maquoketa Valley all season. Emerson Wittenbaugh didn't get to play last year because of a knee injury. Which might be kind of similar to what Nunji had. And they lost a girl. This group of three seniors was supposed to be four, but they lost a girl named Anna Nefsker in an ATV accident between 7th and 8th grade. And from what I hear, she was every bit as good as the three seniors they have here, have now, was on that same kind of trajectory. And Scott said that, you know, had she survived and, you know, gone on to play with this group, that they'd probably be 10 to 15 points better than they already are.
Interesting. 4A, taking a look at that. Glenwood, the top seed there. Really feel good for Dubuque Wallert getting there for the first time. I tell you what, Wallert will not be an easy out. We saw them earlier this year. They got some athletes that they can throw out there.
I was kind of a little bit surprised that they beat Xavier a second time, and I was really surprised what they did to Waverly in the regional final. So they must be playing super well right now, and that's a pretty darn good 8 seed in Class 4A.
And Central DeWitt goes to the MAC, and they finally get over the top, although Marion made them sweat a lot in that regional final.
Yeah. And Central DeWitt has those two sophomores, and are they? They're juniors now. They're juniors now. It seemed like they've been there for a long time, but you know, and they'll carry them next year as well. And that game with North Scott, the two-time defending state champ in 4A, that's going to be a heck of a game.
Some pretty glossy records in 1A, Jeff, and one of them gets Springville in the 1-8 game. On Wednesday at 2 o'clock, Springville and Algona Garrigan.
Yeah, and it was a loss, but mid-year. But I think we found out how good Garrigan really is when they went over and played Valley Tough in West Des Moines. I would say Garrigan and Noel Fonda both could play with anybody in any class, and I don't think anybody would disagree with that. They're both terrific teams. I think they both would be top eight teams in 5A. They're that good. Garrigan's got really, really good post in Audie Crooks. Noel Fonda's got a bunch of girls who can run. I think we're absolutely headed toward, we're looking at a collision course between those two teams again.
And that's Noah Fonda's only loss was to Garrigan.
And it was handily early, but it's not going to be. If they play again, it's going to go down to the wire, just like last year.
And hats off to Coach Zaruba in Springville for getting there again. And Lauren Wilson is terrific, and they beat a really good Burlington Notre Dame team to get to the state tournament.
Yeah, they did, and they must have played really well to get by Notre Dame, because that was a very dangerous team that they were able to get by. And one more good year with this group. I mean, they're still fairly young, juniors and sophomores for the most part, and it's. I don't know. Maybe next year they want to think about opting up into 2A.
Well, yeah, because Crooks is only, a sophomore.
Crooks is a sophomore, and all those Newell Fonda kids are young. And you know, that's what West Hancock did this year. They played in 2A this year, and they were supposed to be in 1A.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Maybe you'll see about 40 teams from 1A moving up next year.
Who knows? Who knows how that'll play out? But all right, man. Get everything ready to go, and we will see you down there next week at the state tournament. It's always a lot of fun, and I know that Gene and everybody, they've got a very good plan down there, and they'll get through this thing just fine.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's going to be a good tournament, and you know, it's probably not always going to be smooth, and people just have to be patient as far as getting in and out, but you know, we got through it in volleyball, and I think they're probably going to be, sounds like they might even be taking a few more precautions for basketball than they did last fall.
Yeah. And we're going to have spring sports.
I wouldn't know why not at this point. If they were going to pull the plug, it would have been long before now.
No doubt. All right. Hey, Jeff, appreciate it. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joining us here in the gym class, previewing the state tournament, also talking about the Iowa women's basketball team. He covers that for the Cedar Rapids Gazette as well. And coming up, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. More on Iowa and Michigan. Again, in case you missed the news, not good. Jack Nungy is out for the season. That coming out about 15 minutes ago from the University of Iowa. Torn meniscus in his right knee for Jack Nungy. He will undergo surgery next week. He is out for the season, and certainly more on that. And that is one position, like we talked about with Scott Dochterman, that Iowa, they have one true center. And now, Prey McCaffrey, they're going to have to go mad scientist route here to kind of figure out what to do, especially on the defensive end.
Very true. In closing, we got a poll question brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement at KGYMRadio.com. Will Iowa bounce back with a win in Columbus this weekend? Yes or no?
Matchup's a lot better. We'll see.
I agree.
I think the Hawks have a shot, but will they do it for Jack? We'll see. More on those two stories coming up with Todd and Alex coming up next on KGYM. Tonight, high school basketball, 4A substate boys semifinals. Kennedy hosting Ottumwa, 645, 107.5 FM. As well as the Gym OT app and stream, 106.3 FM. It'll be Iowa City Liberty hosting Davenport North coming up tonight. Some really good games around the state of Iowa, including R2 that we have for you here on KGYM. Mark, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you as well, and we'll talk to you in March, right?
In March. March Madness around the corner. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex next here on KGYM. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you tonight at Kennedy.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ugh, nothing's worse than starting trouble. We can help you out. We can start with a free battery test. That way, we'll know if your battery is causing the issue. It could be your start.